You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So, my son, I know we briefly discussed this in an earlier tweet about certain things that he knows quite a lot about as far as cartoons and games and stuff.
Sure.
And he asked me the other day, he's got this whole gig set up in his, where he's at, and he's got his computer, and he's got headphones, and a whole nine yards, and he's like, I could probably do a podcast from here. I'm like, you probably could. He's like, I wonder how to do that. I'm like, well, you know, Dr. Dave, he does them all the time. He's the one that records. I said, I don't record anything. He's like, what does he use to record? I said, well, we're on Skype, so he uses Skype recorder, I think. And he's like, why didn't I think of that before? And I'm like, I don't know. Didn't realize it was a mystery. Mystery solved. It's like, okay. But, yeah, so if he, you know, hits you up on Facebook or whatever, you just, you know.
Yeah, I'll help him with anything he needs.
Yeah, and I keep telling him that he really needs to come on the show because, you know, even him and the guys can all geek out about that stuff. Like yesterday, I had like zero input other than Looney Tunes yesterday only because all the stuff that you guys talked about, you know, my kids had mainly watched them. It just doesn't necessarily mean I watched them.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I've been careful not to put, like, you know, specific 80s, you mm-hmm. know, like, when I mm-hmm. do those tweets, I specifically say retro because, you know, it, you know, what you were watching as a kid, you know, may have been mm-hmm. a lot different. So, you know,
right.
it, I mean, it did yeah. get older where there's people bringing up, like, the Hanna-Barbera stuff and the Looney Tunes stuff. And so that was, you know, my kid years, you know, mm-hmm. and I was a teenager in the 80s, so I was still watching cartoons, but, you know, still good stuff. But yeah, it was interesting to see the evolution go between, you know, 70s to 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then so someone recently tweeted about Gargoyles, and that's another one.
Yeah, yeah, 90s.
My son's favorites, that one, and Pirates of Dark Waters.
Yeah.
He feels very, very strongly about. So.
I seem to remember Nick bringing that one up before, and I didn't have anything for it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I don't know about you. I kind of don't want to continue our previous conversation that we had on Messenger. I just kind of want to go into this and
okay.
have a good time.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, but I did leave, and it's just, you know, I know it's my choice, but I will say, I will go on record as saying, if the person wants to connect and say, I hope you didn't leave because of this, then that will be a mistake on their part.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I will tell them. I will basically say exactly what I told you. And frankly, I won't have any qualms about it. Because I think that has to be the most ridiculous reason for not wanting someone to be a vocalist in a band.
Yeah, you know, I don't get it. I don't get that thought process.
And frankly, if it was supposed to be a joke, Yeah, because I told Richard that too. I says, well, you know, honestly, if it's supposed to be a joke, then it's not funny.
No,
I have enough crap going on in this country already.
Yeah, and you know,
bringing the music, and see, that's the music is supposed to be the. I know, I said I knew what to talk about. Music is supposed to be the separator, you know, that brings everybody together. It's not supposed to have a voice. That it does have a voice. I get it. It stands for injustice, and you know, and you know, you've got Live Aid and all this stuff, and but it's the glue that keeps everybody together. That's the thing that unites us. It's not the thing that separates us. We have enough of that already.
Yeah, it doesn't have to have a specific nationality.
Right. So you're a Kiss fan, and you're a Van Halen fan, but, you know, it's all in good fun. Nobody's going to sit there and knock your door down and go, hey, you better listen to Kiss records or I'm going to kick your ass. It's like, well, buddy, get to wailing, because, you know, ain't no Kiss in this house. None Kiss in this house. But, yeah, like I said. Weirdness over.
Yeah.
I want to get into our 1975 stuff. I don't even know what you
pick. How many headlines are we picking out of that article you sent?
Three. I picked three.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I got four, so that's fine. I can
not
steering. Use one of them.
I'm watering. So do you want to start with that? And then so we'll know it's the other person's turn as they... Back to you, Dave. Back to you, Rose. Kind of like a real news, kind of like a fun news broadcast thing. I don't know. I was watching Seth Meyers yesterday on SNL when he has that news thing that he does. Is that the weekend update with Seth Meyers or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't want to read it, though. I want to be able to do a little bit of commentary about it.
Oh, okay. You want to do commentary. Oh, you can do commentary. I want to read it and make a comment.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm... Yeah.
On mine. I mean, you do whatever you want with yours. I'm just going to have the snarky comment at the end.
Okay, I got
you. Or something funny.
Okay.
But you do whatever you want. You can start out with one so I can just see where you're going.
Okay. And then we are doing, what, 1975 movies?
Let's see. I got movies, albums, and TV shows.
I just wanted to have, you've already got all that stuff open, or do you?
No, I have it. That's why I had to take longer.
Okay.
Because after my rant, I got off track, so I had to go back in and get all my stuff. And then I was making dinner, too, so I wanted to make sure Richard ate. And then I got these all in a row,
yep,
in line.
You've got to take care of Richard.
Yes, definitely. He's the whole reason I'm here.
So we'll say 1975 music albums. I'm just kind of bringing up multiple tabs in my,
No worries. I'm on my iPad, so I've got them in a note, app. So.
Okay. And then, so movie, music, and then we said TV shows.
Right.
All right, so most popular feature films and most popular TV series released. Wow. Maybe not. Do we want released or what was on?
I'm going with what was on.
Okay.
For, like, movies or TV?
What I'm looking at is the TV list. It says released 1975, but I don't think
Yeah, I kind of chose that. That's my avenue of recognition. I chose the ones that were released in 75 only because I remember watching them.
Okay. All right,
and thinking that they were kind of cool. So, and if we cross roads on something, that's okay too.
Well, I was just kind of acknowledging what the top ones were, that even though I may have watched them or not. So.
Did you pick three? Or how many did you pick?
I didn't pick any, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're just going to read them all. Okay, I did the whole pick three thing.
Well, no, that works. Well, one way or another, we're going to get through 75 here.
Right.
But I'm completely cool with a mishmash random show. So
awesome.
Yeah, which we seem to be really good at. So I'm completely really good with that. All right. So let's see. I got that going. I got recording going. So I think I got the information I need all in front of me, as much as I can with the multiple tabs. All right. And that's plugged in. Good. All right.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Puffin Stuff. Push your button when things get rough. HR Puffin Stuff. Can't do a little cause you can't do enough.
This is Bonsai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave, and online I have got the wonderful, beautiful, talented Rose.
Hello.
And today, what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be doing an episode that I've kind of dubbed a time capsule. So this is we're going to be talking about the year 1975. And we've got some news headlines picked out that Rose and I want to talk about. We're going to be talking about our the top movies from 1975, the top TV shows, and the top albums or music, I guess, that was going on in 1975 or released in 1975. So we're just going to completely geek out just as much as we can about the year right there in the middle of that great decade. So it's going to be completely groovy.
Totally.
Earlier today, Rose kind of threw out the idea of looking at news headlines and us kind of taking a approach where we're going to look at the headlines and read them, and I was going to offer a little bit of commentary, and then we'll go back and forth here with kind of things that we picked out from this monster list of headlines throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to choose from there.
There are.
So I didn't even get through the entire list. I just really, whenever something caught my fancy, I grabbed it. So
that's what I did.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with, actually March 22nd.
Sweet.
In Alabama, a fire at the Browns Ferry Unit 1 nuclear power plant caused $10 million in damage and knocked the reactor out of service for over a year. This is a part that I found was very interesting here. A worker checking for air leaks with a candle ignited insulation near the control room. The reactor
was
already
in the lab.
Yeah, the reactor was mothballed in 1985, and it was scheduled to reopen in 2000 following a five-year, $1.8 billion restoration. So, $10 million of damage, a $1.8 billion restoration for a candle to insulation. Wow. That is just crazy to me. To be either the worker that did that, or it's just the simple candle that took down this $1 million, reactor. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's just, and see, being 15 at that time, I don't really remember that. I never really was much on news anyway. My grandmother kind of made me watch it. But that was a big deal. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, that is just crazy to think about. I mean, even if it happens today, that is still crazy to me.
Oh, yeah. And think of in the terms of 1970s dollars.
Yeah.
As opposed to now. That's a lot of cash.
That is.
A lot of cash.
Wow. So, over to you, Rose.
Thank you, Dave. I decided to start with the very first day of January in 1975, January 1, where the federal hourly minimum wage rose to $2.10 an hour on this day. Now, consider the minimum wage now is just barely at $10 an hour, and this is 2018, mind you. How much growth is that in 42 years? I'm not a math person, but I'm going to say not much.
Wow.
You believe that? 42 years, and that's as high as the federal minimum wage has gotten. $10. $8.
Wow-wee. That is...
sad.
It is. It is very sad, given that perspective.
Yeah.
I'm just... $2 and how much?
10 cents.
$2 and 10 cents. When you first said that, I got a Jeff Spicoli moment where I was like, righteous bucks. But you know, it was just, you know, of course it was tongue in cheek just, yeah. I just, that's, I wonder what you could buy for $2.10 in 1975.
Hold on, let me think. You can get a newspaper and a candy bar, pack of cigarettes. Oh, you can get, actually get, if you got two packs of cigarettes and a newspaper and a candy bar, that's 50 cents, a dollar, 10 cents for the news, that's $1.10. A candy bar was 25 cents. Boy, you'd have a lot of, you'd have to buy like a soda and a bag of chips. You get a shitload of stuff for $2.
All right. So 1 hour got you, 1 hour of work got you quite a bit.
Trailer for sailor. King of the road. Yeah, you were swinging back in the day. That was a lot of coin. I love it. Dave?
All right. So, May 17th, NBC paid the staggering amount of $5 million for rights to show Gone with the Wind one time. The film aired two nights in November 1976. Wow. $5 million to play that one time.
Why? That's my question. Why?
That's crazy considering the, you know, the dollar amounts that we were just talking about.
I know, right?
And, you know, for... You know, NBC, one of these major broadcast companies, to go, yeah, I'm going to pay $5 million so I can show this movie. Now, granted, it's a classic.
It is.
But that just, that seems crazy amount of money to pay for a one-time viewing.
Right. That's almost as much money as it would have cost to rebuild that reactor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Back then, mind you, that's how much damage it took. I believe it was like $5 million.
Yeah, so $5 million for the rights to play that movie. They did that twice, then they would have paid for the damage from that fire.
Mm-hmm. But no. I think I probably watched that. I think my grandmother, being from the South, I think she might have made me watch that. You know, it's just one of those things that you block out in your mind, just those memories that you're like, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think for us, The Wizard of Oz was always the thing.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't pay to not watch it.
Yeah.
It was like an every year thing. And it was always, what was up with Easter? Why was it always shown at Easter?
Yeah, you know, come to think of it, you're right. There's nothing in that movie that says Easter.
Nothing. And if it came on, if it was the same time, like, at one point, I think they broadcast it the same time that they broadcast The Robe. We were screwed. We weren't going to get to watch The Wizard of Oz. That Robe was going to be playing for 3.5 hours. And we were going to be bored out of our skulls. But having said that, we were three kids that always monopolized the television. And my grandmother very seldom ever got to watch anything, so I don't think we complained too much.
Well, hopefully she got to see Gone with the Wind, considering the price tag NBC paid for it.
And you know, she probably wouldn't even care. She'd be like, $5 billion, what the hell for? Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
That is. Yeah, even now, I can't
just
imagine.
So y'all know,
yeah.
Chris Rock wasn't my grandmother, so...
Oh, back to you, Rose.
Thank you, Dave. Oh, let's see. February 11th. We're inching down the months, the annuals of time here. Margaret Thatcher was elected leader of the Tory Party. She was the first woman to lead the British Conservative Party in England. She later became Prime Minister and held office from 1979 to 1990. Her second volume of memoirs is titled The Path to Power. I don't know a whole lot of people that I speak to on a regular basis that like Margaret Thatcher. I know a lot of people in her party liked her, and a lot of people thought she was good for their country, but there's a lot of people that don't. And I had to tag a little something-something on the end just because I'm the underdogs, even though I wasn't even in the country. And I put on there, but nobody liked her very much and gave her the nickname the Iron Lady. And not in a good way. So
are you a fan of her then?
Honestly, I'm gonna come clean. I was a fan because she was a woman and she was she led the British Conservative. I didn't know what that was. All I saw was a lady in power. In politics, it was strong, and I thought, good for you. And then she became prime minister, and I'm like, oh my God, look at her. She's all like running a country and stuff. How come we can't do that? And then you start hearing the fallout from that, and she was kind of a very tight-fisted leader. And, yeah. So I can honestly say I've never spoken to anyone who actually cared for her way of politics, how she ran the country to this day. And if anybody's listening to this and said, hey, I love Margaret Thatcher, she did amazing things for England, you just write that in a little comment after you give us your review of our podcast on iTunes. But, you know, that was a long time, I guess, over 40 years. Yeah, so I'm sure there's somebody out there. Don't know who they are, but all will be revealed.
All right. And thinking about, as you were mentioning Thatcher, I was going through my mind where one time I'd visited Philadelphia, and mm-hmm. I came across, I want to say it was Ben Franklin's grave. And they had a plaque up that showed everything that he had accomplished at even just a young age.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel so underachieved.
Yes.
And I could just imagine the same thing would have been felt, from Margaret Thatcher standpoint.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure. And it couldn't have been easy either, first of all. To be a woman in that position.
Right.
And second of all, you've got to get these people to listen to you, to do what you say and the suggestions that you've made for everyone in not just your party, but everyone, in Britain, pretty much.
So I know that you handed it back to me and I kept it on the same topic, so I'm sorry about that.
No, you're okay. That's I didn't give you enough chance to rebuttal.
It's all good. It's all good. So we're now on June 28th. Rod Serling, writer and director of the TV series Twilight Zone and Night Gallery, he died. He was remembered in the 1995 PBS production titled Submitted for Your Approval. Rod Serling, just a... such an icon to this day, and he had something that was out there that was just bizarrely wonderful.
Yes.
And I appreciate the man for that. And I appreciate, you know, the hours of enjoyment of people that have mimicked what he had done back in, you know, mm-hmm. back in his day. You know, yeah. we're talking, what, even the 60s here. Mm-hmm. He was so talented, so smart, and I loved his stuff.
Yeah, he was brilliant. And his darkness that he brought to television. It just didn't, you know, you didn't think he could get any more out of the box after Twilight Zone. Because you remember there's Twilight Zone and there was Outer Limits. And Outer Limits had a tendency to stay more towards the sci-fi realm of entertainment. But Twilight Zone kind of hit on everything.
Yeah.
You know, horror, they hit on sci-fi, they hit on fantasy, you know, and he just had such a persona about him. Black hair, dark eyes, black suit, you know, he was like a Blues Brother before they were popular. And he always had a cigarette.
Yeah.
There on his little stool with a cigarette. Or they'd put it behind a desk sometimes, or, you know, and it was just like, this guy's so cool. You know, and he's in there talking about all the weirdness that goes on in the universe and it can happen to anybody. And it was just one of those shows, like, and we had this discussion a little while ago about Love Boat. It was one of those shows that everybody who was anybody was on it.
Yeah.
Telly Savalas is in that one with Talking Tina. And then, you know, you had Burgess Meredith and you had Mickey Rooney and anybody who was anybody is in this movie or in this TV show. And you couldn't wait until the next week to see who he was able to get. And it often kind of made me wonder, is he like asking these people to do this or are they like volunteering because they believe in this that much? And I like to think the latter. I like to think that they're lined up outside of his door and knocking on his office door going, hey, can I be in the next episode of Twilight?
Yeah, like...
No? Sure?
Yeah, Shatner, you know, put him on a plane. There's...
Oh, yeah, I know.
Something on the wing.
And he was hot, too, so we knew everybody was going to be watching that episode. Because And then, you know, to take it to the next level, to get to Night Gallery, and that was when it started getting hip.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh my gosh, I gotta sit down for this, because this stuff looks really crazy. And he was just, you know, bringing it to the next level, and he did it, and it didn't last very long, but that's okay. Because we had him for the time that we had him, and he's definitely left a legacy. And there's people out there that are replicating it all over the place. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, replicating. They're really, in essence, you know, even though, you know, he's passed away in 1975, but there's a lot, you know, he's such an influence.
Absolutely.
And a wonderful influence into just so many genres of just, as you said, sci-fi, fantasy, and just taking a different angle of, you know, normal life and just fucking with your head. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. It is.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. So back to you, Rose.
Awesome. Thank you. So, I think this is my last news reel.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my last one. So.
Okay. For 1975, and this didn't stray too far from down the year. I just couldn't help myself. I'm a big art fan, and I really love Impressionism art, and this kind of caught my eye because I recognized the names of the artists. So, February 17th, 1975, art by painters Cézanne, Gauguin, Renoir, and Van Gogh valued at $5 million. That's our key number of the day, folks. $5 million. Get out there and play that Powerball. These paintings were stolen from the Municipal Museum in Milan. And that's pretty much all it said. So I decided, oh, there's got to be a little bit more something to add to that. So I added, the theft was discovered when security came to work the next day and noticed several replicas had replaced the originals featuring dogs playing poker. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much, that was a dead giveaway that maybe was something awry in the Municipal Museum in Milan. So, yeah. I'm not making light of it. I don't know if they ever found it or not, but I couldn't help, like I said, I couldn't help myself. It just, it sucks that somebody could just walk into a museum and go, I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take that. Okay, let's go. You know, I don't think you can do that now. There's just too many, like, laser beams and booby traps and all kinds of secret poison gas and all kinds of stuff there.
Well, that took a set of stones to, like, replace them. With dogs playing poker.
Well, you want to think that happened. Let's just say. But
that's something a great movie would be made out of.
I'm sure it probably has. That's probably where I got it from. But yeah, so.
someone that does appreciate a good dog playing poker picture. I'd like to think that happened. So
I would too. I'm black velvet, mind you.
Black velvet. We're the class level here is just going up.
Yeah.
Maybe one of those black light things going on.
Oh yeah, definitely. We're classy on this show.
Get out your lava lamps, folks.
Exactly.
All right, so. So that was our news segment, and that's the first time we've really done something like that. That was really cool.
That was fun. I like that. I like doing the news. Keeps people cultured.
Yeah, exactly. Know? We can go into a different avenue, you know, when we're talking about the decades that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually something that I think you and I kind of threw around the idea back and forth before. To do something like that. So yeah. I'm glad that we were able to finally execute.
Yes.
And even that list that you sent out, there's just way so much more on that list that you can fill up, you know, another, you know, 30 minutes to an hour just going through news items.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just in this year alone.
Yeah, but we want to move on. We want to move on to our, the stuff that was just, you know, pop culture ish. Mm-hmm. Which one do you want to start with? Music, TV, or movies?
Well, we already know where my penchant lies, so I think I did mine different than you. I went ahead because I was in haste to get ready to start the show. I went ahead and I picked the top three albums that I was listening to in 1975. And I had to totally honest, because a lot of music was out there that people were listening to that were popular. It just wasn't me. I was just, you know, raised in a completely different atmosphere. I mean, you saw my tweet earlier about not being able to listen to rock. So my grandmother thought it was the devil's music. So I couldn't, you know, every so often, you know, if I heard it on the radio, I kind of like turn it down so she couldn't hear it. But she had pretty good hearing for an old lady. But, so the albums that I listened to, and I was going through an R&B phase back in the mid-70s. So I was listening to a lot of R&B. Michael Jackson was right up in the forefront. So did you want me to, like, just mention them, or do you want me to talk about them, or...
Well, let's do this. What I did was I looked at the highest rated albums from 1975. I'm just going to lay them out here just for the sake of putting them out, because I really don't have, looking at the list, I really don't have anything much to add to them other than just giving them credit.
Okay, that sounds good. I like that.
But the number one album was Patti Smith, Horses.
Oh, okay.
Number two was Roxy Music, Siren.
Sweet.
This is listed as glam rock.
Nice.
Number three was Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here.
Excellent album.
Number four, Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run.
Nice. That's a good one, too.
And
shout out to Jesse there.
Yeah, shout out Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
On the Southgate Media Group. And then number five, Bob Dylan and the band, The Basement Tapes. So,
didn't listen to a lot of Dylan back in the day. He was on the radio, and I probably would listen to him and go, God, that guy's thing funny. But he had some of the most intricate lyrics, I thought. And I really appreciated him as a songwriter. Just, you know, not so much as a singer. But.
And just to give a shout out to Scott, he said Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here was his top. Or his favorite album for the year.
Nice. Yeah. That surprises me, actually.
Yeah, so this must have been his pre-hard rock, heavy metal kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that wasn't prevalent back then, though.
No, I think a lot of times you just listen to what everybody else listened to.
Right.
So you'd have something to talk about. I never really had that. You know, I probably talk a lot more about music now than I did in my whole life. So even as a teenager, because you feel like that sometimes that's the only thing you ever talk about is music. Like, ooh, do you get a new album? Wait a minute, somebody got a new album. What's the name of it? Who is it? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and if it was something in the top 10, you'd be like, oh, man, I want that album so bad. And you're like the envy of all you Chevy. Never had that.
So you said you were 15 in 1975.
Yes.
So the so then yeah, that would have put you right into the wheelhouse of getting into your musical taste, or you know what you get your hands on. You know, that was approved by the parental units.
Right.
But yeah, for me, I was all of 4 years old. So I was listening to whatever my dad was listening to or my mom was listening to. And mom right. was always into the rock and roll music from like the 60s, you mm-hmm. know. So like you know, pretty much anything off of the American Graffiti soundtrack, you know, I'm
right.
I'm very fluent with, you know, courtesy of my mom.
That's nice.
And my dad was more country. So whenever okay. my sister and I would go to the Elk Lodge or the VFW with him, then, you know, that's usually what would be on the jukebox, you know, like, I Got a Tiger by the Tail or Buck Owens or whoever, yeah. You know, things like that. So,
that is Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool though.
So that was kind of my.
Country was so good back yeah. then.
Yeah. So that was kind of my, you know, what I was, you know, kind of, listening to by default.
Yeah, you kind of couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, that's neat, though.
So you tell me about your stuff. What were you listening to?
Well, like I said, Jackson 5, Michael Jackson, first and foremost. Always at the top of the list. And they pretty much reigned supreme for many years, just so many years. In 1975, you had, I think, Michael Jackson did a few solo albums after he was with the Jackson 5. I don't think he'd quite left yet, but he did, an album called Forever Michael. And then there was an album called The Best of Michael Jackson, which I believe had to do, I'm thinking he did Ben. And then he did Music and Me and then Forever Michael. So it was a combination of, they might have thrown in some Jackson 5 stuff in there too. I don't know. But, I would have been definitely listening to those two because, like I said, big, huge fan. And then, introduced to, Earth, Wind and Fire. And in a lot of instances, when you're in school, you have people that, oh, what are you listening to? Or, you know, if you have like a little transistor radio or something, or people just bring the subject up because they want something to talk about. And I know Ohio Players was a big deal back in the mid-70s, and was it Funkadelics, I think? And so a lot of people still had more music maturity than I did. I just kind of hovered in the pop music range and kind of stayed true. But that's the way of the world with Earth, Wind, and Fire just really spoke to me. So I had to kind of step outside of that little girl pop and go, huh, these people are talking about stuff that's important. I better listen. You know, because that's what your parents tell you to do. You know, someone's saying something important, make sure you listen. That way you'll know what's going on. And yeah, so I was another way to get more involved in school conversations. Hey, did you hear that new Earth, Wind, and Fire? Oh, I know that. And it always helped that you actually knew the songs like in succession, or you were like ready to. So which one's your favorite? I always hated that question. It's just like, oh, well, because you know somebody's going to come back with, well, my favorite is this. It's like, oh, good for you. What, are we all supposed to be twins now? I mean, needless to say, those conversations didn't last very long. It's like, why can't I just like what I want? But
you'll like my choice, yeah. Damn it.
I know, right? Boy, doesn't that sound familiar. Anyway, inside joke. So yeah, so those are the ones that I picked because, you know, I could.
Yeah, I know you were talking about Michael Jackson, but Jackson 5. I'm so digging the current movies that are recirculating songs from back then. So
yeah.
Like ABC being on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My family loves that song. And, you know, even though it's now associated with the dancing Baby Groot, you know, besides that though, it's just a great song.
It is a great song. It's, yeah. You know, the pop music extravaganza.
Yeah.
That's what pop music supposed to be.
And like even Quentin Tarantino, I know we just talked about him, but I mean, even the songs that he puts in his movies, you know, it's like a resurgence of these great songs from back then. And I love it. I love yeah. getting a new generation exposed to this stuff.
Yeah. And it's always good to keep people informed because that's how you retain history.
Right.
Yeah. And it's important.
All right. So that's our music topic then. So we're going to jump over to, let's go movies.
Movies!
So what I've got is the most popular feature films released in 1975, according to IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read the top, let's say the top five. And then we can just talk about whatever we want to.
Sure.
So number one being One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which, you know, we know as, the great Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is a movie called Selo, or The 120 Days of Sodom.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have never been able to watch that.
Yeah, it actually says not rated.
I suppose I could watch it now, but where would I find it? Anyone? Anyone?
In World War II Italy, four fascist libertines round up nine adolescent boys and girls and subject them to 120 days of physical, mental, and sexual torture. Wow.
Okay, no, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, that just sounds...
Why is that a top-rated movie? Sorry, I thought they were going somewhere else with that.
Yeah, well, no, this is like the most popular feature films So I don't know why that's
Twisted.
Popular.
But... Twisted.
Yeah. So number three is what we would expect, Jaws.
Yay.
Yeah, so of course you got that one in there. Number four, the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Woo!
Thank you, Tim Curry.
Yes, I was 30 years old before I saw that. Still didn't get it, but that's okay.
Yep.
Love Tim Curry, love everybody in it, just wasn't my cup of tea. And I definitely wasn't going to put no damn costume on and traipse down to the theater at midnight to go sing with other weirdos. Sorry. That's okay if you want to do that. Don't be sending me no hate mail.
Yeah.
I'm just not that person, okay? I'm a prude.
Yeah, if that's your thing, then that's your thing. So
I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying I ain't doing it.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. And number five, it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Monty Python.
So those are the top five popular movies according to the IMDb list I'm looking at. And I think Scott actually sent us, yeah, he did. Top movie was between Jaws and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So he's calling that a tie.
So he's right up there. I have him top five.
Yeah.
That's great.
Obviously I've seen both of the, Jaws and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And actually Rocky Horror Picture Show and Monty Python. So I've seen four of those five.
Right.
But, I agree. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Fantastic Jack Nicholson. Just loved his portrayal of Murphy.
Yeah. It was a great movie.
Yeah. Just fantastic. And,
wasn't it shot in black and white?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. I'm thinking of something else. I thought it was shot in black and white. That would have made it even better.
But yeah, he completely sold Crazy. And you bought it. You bought that he was right there on the edge. No idea what was going to happen next.
Yeah. But, having said that, when she did that, that little boy called his parents, and all he was trying to do, and I understood what he was trying to do. He was trying to get him to live a little because he'd been so repressed his whole life, and his parents were assholes, and she was an asshole, And it was just like, geez, let the guy get some freedom, because he's going to end up dying in this place. And he did.
Yeah.
Because of her. And I just was like, ooh, kill her! Kill her! Kill her! But he didn't.
And every time anyone ever refers to Nurse Cratchit, we all know that, courtesy of this one. That's what we're referring to, and we know exactly the type of person that is.
Oh, yes. Definitely. It's awesome. The last 15 minutes of that movie are just classic.
I said Cratchit. Ratchet, I meant. Sorry.
I know what you meant. You're thinking of Bob Cratchit from The Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I was crossing the streams.
Stop doing that. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, and we're not in the 80s, so we don't know what crossing the streams means. But we know it's a bad thing.
Yeah, we don't know what that means. It's a bad thing,
yet
though. We do it often.
Yeah.
So...
And then Jaws, of course. Once I saw that, I pretty much swore off having a bath.
See, I knew I wasn't going to be swimming in the ocean ever anyway, because of my almost drowning trauma. So, I just figured if somebody was brave enough to go out and swim in the ocean, they pretty much had to take what was coming to them.
Yeah, as long as we get a bigger boat.
Definitely need a bigger boat.
Dreyfuss was great in that.
Dreyfuss was great in quite a few movies in the 70s.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you about Close Encounters of the Third Kind, because I wanted to watch it. Because I got into this conversation with somebody at work about it the other day, and she's like my daughter's age. She might even be younger than my daughter. And she'd seen the movie, and I'm like, yes! I said, your mom was a kid when this movie came out. And you've seen it. This is awesome. This is the kind of stuff I love. You know, just carry on that tradition. Things that you find enjoyment in and you want to watch it and you want to share it with your kids. You know, that's great. I think it's awesome.
I'll be completely honest. I actually was scrolling through movies last night because I was up a little later than I normally am. And I came across Close Encounters, and I almost hit play.
Wow. Is that like a psychic moment or what? See, I was feeding the vibes to you.
Yeah.
You almost did it.
Yeah. I almost did it. I ended up with Ocean's 11, though.
Oh, yeah, well. George Clooney over Richard Dreyfuss.
I don't know what it is. It's just, you know, Clooney and Brad Pitt are so suave and debonair and...
Aren't they?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I want to be like that.
I want to be like that. I want to see the one with the chicks in it. I want to see the one with the all-female cast.
That would be interesting. And I'm just hoping
that they don't, like, bitch it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just hoping there's like some type of resilience to it, where you're not sitting there going, "Oh my God, really? All of you are on your periods? Are you kidding me?" Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as it's better than the last version or the latest version of Ghostbusters. You know, I wasn't a fan of that.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Gonna start a riot. Let's move on. Okay, so anything else to talk about other than your five picks for? Because I got to give you my three picks.
For, yeah, please do. Go ahead.
That I watched. This is how I took it. The movies that I watched in 1975. So, one of these things is not like the other. So we had there was a movie that came out, Cooley High, and I know I've spoken about it before on the show. Excellent movie. A lot of really good character portrayal in it. Just a lot of, you know, like drama, a lot of humor, a lot of sadness, and just, it was a perfect teenage movie. I think I cried in the theater. Probably the second time I went to see it, I cried in the theater as well. So I saw that, loved it. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs had an excellent role in that. And then the young man that played his best friend, I can never remember who he is. But it was just, the whole movie was great. And he had a lot of really good characters. And I, being raised in that environment, it was like, oh, cool. Now we're getting to something I can actually relate to. See, so, because never lived in an atmosphere like, you know, American Graffiti, never had that Happy Days mentality situation going on at my house, so you people know. But it wasn't too horrible, but I honestly can relate more to Cooley High and I can with that. Another really good movie. Really super into Diana Ross at the time, so Mahogany was great. I really, at some point in my life, wanted to do that, either be a model or be a designer. I mean, I went home and I had like my notebook and I designed all these amazing clothes that looked like a 5-year-old was drawing, and I'd show them to my girl. What do you think of this one? And she's like, it's great, honey. I'm like, okay, well, will you see the next one? And I'd be like, all these elaborate colors and things. I'm like, what do you think of this one? I like the other one better. Okay, well, all right. I see where you're going with that. So now we're going to, you know, and she was just so patient with me because she knew it was going to last for like 3 days. And then I would be off on some other wild goose chase that I wanted to do with my life. So, but Mahogany is really good for a lot of reasons, honestly. I think it was just, you know, you didn't have a whole lot of, you know, women role models already in movies. I mean, you had some, but if they weren't like scientists or, you know, you just need like a regular person, even though Diana Ross wasn't a regular person. She was like a supermodel. So she's kind of like a regular person. But the whole scene with the candle wax kind of weirded me out. But I was kind of like, what are they doing? So just to see how young and impressionable I was like, that doesn't look like that feels good. But Billy Dee Williams was in it as well, because he starred with her also in Lady Sings the Blues. They revamped, you know, the two of them together because they worked really well side by side. Richard Pryor was in Lady Sings the Blues, but he wasn't in Mahogany, I don't think. Anyway, I don't have IMDb up. I'm just purely going on my brain power. But if you haven't seen it, please get an opportunity to check it out. It's not a very long movie, but it's a lot of high fashion, a lot of glamour and glitz and sadness and love lost and love found. Not necessarily in, you know, that order. So.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's kind of cool. And then the last one is The Sunshine Boys. I don't know if you saw the movie Sunshine Boys or not.
I have not.
I am going to have to, because I want to explain necessarily, don't have to explain, but I want to explain the synopsis. Because you think Sunshine Boys, I don't know what you think when you hear that title.
Sunshine Boys, yeah, it just sounds like a happy... go lucky kind of movie.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm typing it in. It's going in letter by letter. It's very slow today. it's an iPad, so. Alrighty. So, Walter Matthau and George Burns and some other guy that I can't see right now because it's the loading. The spiral of death is
Walter Matthau, George Burns, and Richard Benjamin.
Thank you. So, why don't you read the synopsis since you'll probably, you already have it and I can't seem to get it.
Yeah, so a vaudeville duo agreed to reunite for a TV special, but it turns out they can't stand each other.
Isn't that classic? Don't you just love? And it was written by Neil Simon.
Yeah.
And and one other. I finally was able to get it up. And it just, like I said, I grew up, my grandmother raised me. So I watched tons of old movies and always watching these old TV shows and Ed Sullivan and Merv Griffin and all these talk shows and things. So I'm actually familiar with a lot of the actors. Richard Benjamin was actually younger. He was younger than a lot of the people. And then Lee Meredith was in it. And
yeah, because it looks Howard like he Hester. Played the producer of the variety show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were driving him nuts.
And he was trying to get his father, I guess, mm-hmm. and the other comedian who haven't spoken for over 20 years to work together.
Yeah.
How now, mind you, Ben convinced the crotchety old comedians to put aside their differences before the big show. That sounds mm-hmm. funny.
And you know, it was. It was really humorous. And just the timing, Walter Matthau in anything, you know, is just hysterical. And then you pair him up with somebody like George Burns, who is a, I wouldn't call him a straight man, but he always had such a dry sense of humor. I always liked him. You know, he's on stage, he's got a cigar, and he's actually telling jokes. He's not, you know, doing observational humor or anything, but he always had jokes that he told. But to see him acting in movies. Now, he was a big deal back in the 70s because he did that. And then he went on to do Oh God, I believe. And Oh God Part 2, or maybe that was the 80s. But he was kind of a hot commodity. And to be that old at that time, you know, and be that, people wanted you for their movies. So he was 100 years old when he died in 1996. So he was born in 1896 and this is 1975. So whoever wants to do the math on that one, feel free. I'm not doing it. I already did the math for the minimum wage earnings that we don't get. But yeah, so that was, it was just a fun, it was just a fun, different movie. And it was different from everything that was out. There's a lot of movies that started, had started turning like uber violent around about that time. Not that I'm saying that was bad, because I watched quite a few of them, but it was a refreshing, you know, departure. Let's put it that way. From watching, you know, shoot 'em ups and car chases and police, you know, Dirty Harry, whatever. It was different.
Yeah, actually, kinda I like, just had to, I remember George Burns, of course, from the Oh God movies, but I was like, I know there was a movie in my brain that he did with Brooke Shields. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to remember the title and the year. So I actually was looking it up as you were talking. Cool. And it was Just You and Me, Kid, 1979.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so it was a cute movie. But yeah, he does have this very dry comedic delivery mm-hmm. that completely works for him.
Yeah. And that's probably why he was way to go. He was, what am I trying to say? Able, thank you. He was able to get away with it for so long because
right.
people were like, hey, this guy's great. That, and he was 100. So
he, he was doing it all the way to the end.
He was doing it. You do you, George.
All right, so that's the movie topic.
Yeah.
That leaves us with TV.
TV shows.
So what I have on my screen is the most popular TV series that released in the year 1975. So once again, I'll just read these out from one to five.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, actually, yeah, look, just scrolling down, there's like, you know, some good ones past five, but mm-hmm. number one, Saturday Night Live came out in 1975.
Yeah.
So number two, One Day at a Time. Mm-hmm. And that went on to 1984.
Yep.
Wonder Woman, that started yep. from 75 to 1979.
Mm-hmm.
Fawlty Towers, 75 to 79.
Mm-hmm.
And then SWAT, 75 to 76.
Wow. Hard to believe that was only on for one season.
Missions in Major Cities, Police Department, Special Weapons, and Tactical Unit. Robert Urich.
Yeah, because that was a big deal.
Yeah.
That was a big deal in real life, let alone making a TV series about it. Because, you know, if you had to call the SWAT team, yeah, your ass was in trouble. The regular police coming to get you was nothing. SWAT team? Oh, hell no. Yeah, they're... They have no problem with home invasion.
Yeah, and I'm looking further down the list, and there was shows that I know I've seen more than some of those others, and that's like mm-hmm. The Jeffersons and Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
So I do remember those being on the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, nothing else is jumping out at me. Oh, Wheel of Fortune. That looks like that started in 75.
Yeah, I know, cause Merv Griffin, too, I think, started in 75. I loved him. I loved his show.
You mean Vanna's been doing this since 1975?
I know.
Are you kidding me? She looks great.
Of course she looks great.
There you go, Vanna.
She's been frozen in time. That's her clone. Her clone up there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if there's anything else that's jumping out at me here.
Oh, okay. I just picked my top three favorites, and oddly enough, they all landed in the top whatever.
Okay, go ahead. Except for one. Go ahead and tell me your favorites then.
Well, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, okay.
Because here we have an actual female superhero that's not Catwoman. Sorry, I don't have a lot of love for Catwoman. Or Batgirl. I mean, this is Wonder Woman. She was her own entity. She was kicking ass, taking names. And she was a secretary. See, so I just knew that was my destiny in life. See, I'd already switched gears. I'm not going to be a fashion model and a designer. I'm going to be, I always knew I was going to be a secretary. In what form, I just wasn't sure. And see, now I can be a secretary and a superhero.
Well, you are a superhero.
Well.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to tell anybody. Sorry.
No. And I ended up.
All of our listeners, please delete that last part. You didn't hear that.
I would never fit in that costume, though. But that's all right. Because, you know, it's not all about the tights and the whatever they're called. But I thought Linda Carter was perfect for that role. And I always loved her in anything she did. Because she just, you know, it was the black hair and the blue eyes, basically. That was like my dream look. You know, I had this tensions for black hair, and I got dark brown hair, and I was like, thank you, I appreciate that. But my brother got the black hair and the black eyes, and I'm like, thanks. He's a guy. He doesn't need to look good for anything, you know. But, you know, God was like, no, it's okay. You got what you needed. I'm like, okay, appreciate it.
Rico Suave.
So yeah, so great series there. It was family friendly. Little girls could feel like they could, and big girls could feel like they could look up to somebody. And it wasn't a lot of, I mean, there was the, you know, the lasso of truth, and then, you know, she may have to punch somebody, you know, and then she's deflecting. That was awesome. It was brass. Bracelet, she's deflecting bullets with him. I'm like, man, it's just, I don't know, it was everything that it needed to be, so it was awesome, and I watched it every week.
What do you think of the current Wonder Woman?
Oh, homegirl, she's scary.
Scary?
I haven't seen the movie yet. I have it. I own it. I haven't seen it, but she's scary good.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. That's all I wanted to clarify.
Yeah,
she is tough.
Yeah, see, she took it up.
She kicks ass.
Another level. Yeah. And I think, I think Linda Carter actually, I think she approved of her. You know.
Oh, good.
I really read something somewhere where they, because you know you have to do that when you go for so long, and I know somebody's thinking, but what about Lindsay Wagner and Bionic Woman? Yeah, what about her? Anyway, when you have such a gap in between, when you have the first entity, and then there's so many years later, and it's brought back into the forefront, you have to talk with the original. Just like they did the whole Catwoman, is it Eartha Kitt, is it Julie Newmar, you know, this person, that person, and it's just like, whatever. But honestly, I knew it was going to happen. Because, you know, Lena Carter, she owned that role on TV.
Yeah.
And to see, you know, and I'm not mentioning your name only because I can't pronounce it. sorry. Gadot? Is her name? Gal Gadot. Thank you. Something just thrusted in my brain. Like, say that word! Knowing that she, you know, is taking on this role, and she's probably thinking to herself, holy crap, it's Linda Carter, I don't want to screw this up. You know, because she's wasn't even around when, you know, the role was created
right
for her on TV. So it's just like, you know, she wants to do it justice, but she also wants to add a little something to it. But this is how I'm going to do it, which every actor who's good at its craft should do. You should never want to parallel or, you know, be exactly like somebody else, because all they're going to say is, oh, you know that guy that imitates that other guy that did the same movie? You don't want to be that person, because that doesn't get you anywhere. You want to take a, you know, like, I hate to keep using this as a reference, but Heath Ledger took it to the next level when he played Joker, and everybody's like, oh, and then it was the whole Jack Nicholson, Keith Ledger, and all this. I know it's Heath Ledger, not Keith. But, you know what I'm saying? You have to break out of that and go, yeah, well, this is how I'm doing it. And in Gal Gadot, that's how she's doing it. And it's like, yes, thank you. We'll have some more of that.
Yeah. Yes,
please kick more asses for us, please. We appreciate that.
Yeah, you can pick up a tank, please. Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you pick it up and throw it at somebody.
Yeah. But yeah, if she's going back to Linda and I guess getting kind of a nod of approval, I mean,
yeah,
that's huge. I would think that if I'm, you know, one of these actors, you know, that's in these current movies and mm-hmm. I got a nod from, you know, these icons, you know, be it mm-hmm. Linda Carter, be it, Adam West, whoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, they say, hey, I like what you're doing here with that. Mm-hmm. To me, that would make my life. You know, that'd be like one of my top moments of my life, you know, to get that.
Right.
Yeah, and that's if you have that appreciation for what they were doing back then, which I hope you would. You know, if you would have done enough research into the character.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then to have to deal with the origins of Wonder Woman anyway in comic book form.
Right.
Then you're like, okay, yeah, I'm not wearing that. That's the first thing you say. I don't care what you say. I ain't wearing that. First of all, it's TV. And second of all, I do have some pride, or what do you call it when you have whatever it is that you have? Morals. There you go.
And actually, I think in the comic books, and I'm going to screw this up, but I seem to remember that, you know, being the 70s where you had the, a lot of the feminism movement,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were changing the design, or they're screwing around with the roots of, well, not the roots, but the design of how Wonder Woman looked
in
the comic books. And I think,
right.
Yeah, that was one of those things where it's like, no, you don't have to really screw around with that. You know, we can just leave her as she is. But, you know, maybe there was enough people that were like, well, you know, she doesn't have to be wearing a swimsuit to fight crime.
Right. And I think when initially, and I guess this is where I was going with that, it was initially in the early days of Wonder Woman, she was basically considered a dominatrix.
Right.
So it's just like, that's what I was saying when I said, you know, not doing that, you know, because we've moved on from that since then. So let's keep it in a happy medium here. So.
Yeah, but if I got the timeline wrong for the comic books, then somebody correct me.
No!
I'm not going to look it up.
There you go. Yes, that's right. You don't do that. That's what our fans are for. They're the ones that are supposed to correct us. We just get on here and we just spew crap. And take up like an hour and a half, and then we go deal with it.
Yeah, we're just throwing stuff up against a wall, see what sticks.
Exactly. So moving along, my next TV show of choice would have been One Day at a Time. Because here again, it's breaking away from the norm. You've got a single mom with two daughters. And it's like, okay, now we're talking. Now I can see something that I can relate to more than, you know, Joni and Chachi and all them other people. Even though that was a great show. I'm not knocking Happy Days. I loved Happy Days. I could sing the theme song with my eyes closed. I didn't not like it, but it was just a a time frame that I wasn't familiar with. So when she's, you know, she's a strong woman and her daughters, you know, Valerie Bertinelli was cute and Mackenzie Phillips wasn't, but she had a little harder edge to her than, you know, her sister, but her sister got by on a lot more. She was smart too. So a lot of times they're clashed a bit, which was often. And I remember the episode where she ran away, I think. Mackenzie Phillips, I think. I'm trying to think, she caused this big, huge controversy, and it was just, she was such a problem child. And I can relate to that because there's one in every, if you have more than one child, couples out there that are childless and thinking of having children that are listening, if you have more than one child, you're going to have a problem child. Just so you know. And if you only have one child, then that may be it. I can't guarantee that. I didn't come from a one-child family. But it's just, you know, it was good entertainment for the time. And this is like mid-70s going into the late 70s. A lot's going on. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the government and a lot going on in the streets and society and, you know, movements here and there and everywhere. And it's just, you know, they're bringing life to TV, which is great. But they're bringing life to TV in a non-middle class way, which is what we had always been subjected to, except for Good Times. You know, Good Times actually took it a step further, you know, and put, you know, evening television, primetime TV at the heart of the ghetto, which, you know, to this day, I don't even know if they've ever tried it again. If anybody says I'm wrong, go for it. But that was like, okay, yeah, now we're talking. Because we know that there are people out there, because this is what we know. If you don't live in this neighborhood, you're not going to know that, you know. So, One Day at a Time, definitely groundbreaking. Bonnie Franklin, excellent actress. I would watch her in just about anything. She's just got that spunk. You just like that feistiness about her. The guy that played...
Schneider.
Oh, my God, he was exhausting. Such a douche. But, you know, the person that played him actually did a really good job playing him. It's not him. It's not the guy. It's the character that you kind of go, give me the creeps.
Yeah, it's like, was he busting into everyone else's apartments like he was theirs?
Oh, yeah. He had a master key for everybody's apartment.
No, I know he did. And I know that's what kind of, it's like, who put him in charge of the keys?
He did.
But, you know, he could not
help himself. The dereliction of power, basically, is what you call that.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, if I'm randomly poking my head into, like, people's houses, you know, or their apartments, you know, all day. Somebody's got to fire me.
Apparently no one cared.
Yeah. But then again, it was the 70s, so, all right.
It was the 70s, yeah. And apparently something like sexual harassment never was an issue back then. But,
They'll haul your ass to court nowadays.
Oh, the fact that they know you have a key to their apartment. Just like, hell no. We're going to rectify this problem right now. Yeah. And then last one, of course, is long pause. I thought I was going to sing the I'm not going to do that. Welcome Back, Kotter was just the epitome of plain downright goofiness. Here you have a teacher, Gabe Kaplan, who plays, I don't want to say he was the worst teacher, but he had a little bit more lax in his teaching skills. And he's given this class of kids that was probably one of the first, oh, what do you call it? My daughter was in one of these classes. I want to say remedial. They had, you know, like remedial classes for kids that weren't learning, you know. So here you have a recognition of education deficit in the school. You have kids that have learning disabilities that you don't know what to do with, and they're acting out because of it. And then you shove them all of them in one class, and then here's a teacher you throw in, and you go, here, teach them how to do stuff. And it's just like, what? And I can only imagine people, teachers in real life, going, that's what I fucking do every day. What the hell? You're making a damn TV show about it, you bastard. You know, because that's not nothing to laugh at. This is a serious thing. You know, so maybe that's why they did it. I don't know. It's just like, this is what people have to deal with in school, high school, all day long. All these smart-ass kids from different walks of life, they all come in there, and they all focus on one subject. How far can we push our teacher to the point of insanity?
Yeah, I was just looking at the... go and look at the cast list, and you know, Gabe Kaplan, as you mentioned, but I was like looking at the character names, and it was like bringing back memories. Juan Epstein, Freddie,
yeah.
Freddie Boom Boom Washington,
Boom Boom,
Arnold Horshack.
The cows are dying. Yeah.
Vinny Barbarino.
Vinny Barbarino.
Yeah.
He's the main reason. I watched that, by the way.
Mr. Woodman? Mr. Michael Woodman?
Oh, my God.
Yep.
That troll. Oh, jeez. He was such a horrible person.
And then, and then Cotter's wife, Julie.
Yeah, I liked her.
Yeah.
I really liked her. Because I thought if the two of them... I think they ended up having a kid later, if I'm not mistaken. I think if the two of them... They were just like newly married or something, or maybe they've been married a few years and they were like newlyweds. And it was just like their whole life was turned upside down because of this position that he got. But they made it work with people coming in and out of the window from the fire escape all hours of the night and with problems. You know. And honestly, I don't think, and I'm going to say this and let the fur fly where it may. I don't think Saturday Night Fever would have worked as well without this show.
Oh, really?
I honestly believe that this is kind of like a precursor to the lifestyle, the New York City, maybe Lower East Side, Lower Manhattan, the in the city kind of vibe, you know. I mean, I know that, what's that musical that they did back in the 60s?
Musical back in the 60s.
With all the dancing. Oh, I can't think of it. I've seen this movie 100 times. Maria... Here in America. Da, 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 da.
You got me on that one.
Are you kidding me? No. Now, see, I have to look it up. Because Rita Moreno was in it. And it was the Puerto Ricans against... It was the Sharks against the...
West Side Story.
West Side Story. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. How did I miss that one?
I don't know. I don't know how I missed it. Like I said, it was just one of those things. Like, I knew what was going on in it because I've seen it so many times and I knew all the music, but yeah. So yeah. So you had that like in the '60s, and then there was nothing to really bring it to the forefront because anybody knew anything about New York City back during that time. It was in the city, certain parts of the city, it was a bit of a pit, and kids just kind of did what they wanted. You know, they ran free. They went to school okay, if they didn't, okay. So I think in order to get the appreciation for certain cultures, you know, they were all mixed together, because that's why they were all put together. You know, it was, you know, you had Horshack, he was Jewish, and then Epstein was Puerto Rican and Jewish, and then Barbarino was Italian, and of course Freddie was African American, and then I think Gabe Kaplan's character was probably Jewish as well. But it was just like a melting pot of culture all thrown in, you know, which most of the neighborhoods were kind of like that, except for certain neighborhoods. We won't get into that. Certain neighborhoods were strictly, specifically for certain cultures. So when you get to Saturday Night Fever, it's kind of like, okay, this is like we understand what's going on here. This is like, you know, Italian guy's got an Italian family and he's the big shot and he's learning how to dance and he's got economic and social issues, but who cares? Because disco only happens once a week and he's the king of the floor kind of a thing. So, you know, you I don't know if I'm making myself any sense. But
I see where you're getting it. Yeah, because there was a more to the than all just the, I guess I'm trying to phrase it a certain way, but it wasn't just, you know, like you said, what was on the dance floor or, you know, what was part of the big show of disco. It was the backstory. It was the tough neighborhood. It was the what made these characters, you know, the struggle.
So, and I think that's where it started. Welcome Back, Kotter started that, you know, and then it happened, just so happens that, you know, here's this movie, you know, and to me it's kind of like an extension. You know, you get all these kids, they all live in the same, except for one kid that, you know, had the issues with just about everything. And in the movie, I don't know if you saw the movie or not, but this one kid just wanted to belong so bad, and he wanted to be Tony, and Tony is just like, God, leave me alone already. I can't help you. I don't know what you want. And I believe that really happens. You know, I don't think everybody jumps off a bridge because of it, but I think, you know, you just get so connected to who you're around that you don't feel like you're anybody without them. So I think Gabe Kaplan's character wanted to be in the class as much as Mr. Woodman wanted him to be there, only because he knew what he came out of. He's like, if I can help these kids, you know, I'm not just some jerk up here in a jacket and a tie telling them what to do because I know what struggles they have at home. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's probably a lot like, you know, I'm relating it to what you're saying. It's kind of like Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the, I'm from this same neighborhood. I get the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to help.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it was great for the time. There was a couple of times when it got a little weird. But I think it was on as long as it needed to be on. Because I think a lot of times people, they don't want to be reminded of what's out there that they're not familiar with. I don't know why, but, you know, there's a lot more to the world than your front and backyard. So I'm not saying go spend a week in Harlem or anything like that, but, you know, it's like recognize.
And, I was actually looking at, I was scrolling through things about Welcome Back, Kotter, and I got to the quote section. And Vinnie Barbarino quote that I know that he said a lot was, up your nose with a rubber hose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Twice as far with a chocolate bar. It's like, who says that? Never heard that. Never. That must be an East Coast thing. Your nose with a rubber hose.
Yeah. Off my case, toilet face. Love means never having to hear I'm pregnant.
Oh!
Yeah. That's 70s that, for you.
I totally missed that one.
But my favorite is a quote from Mr. Woodman. It's a Kotter, these kids couldn't pass a blood test without cheating. You just hear his delivery of it. It was just
It was great for that role. He just, you know, just excellent. I don't even remember seeing him in anything else other than that. I'm sure he has like an IMDb page as long as Mount Everest, but I just, you know, just one of those people that he would be recognizable if you saw him in anything else. So.
Yeah, John Sylvester White.
Yeah. Don't walk on my phone, cat. My cat's come to join us for our podcast.
Mufasa?
Mufasa, yes.
Hey, Mufasa.
He's like, no, I'm just going to sit here and ignore you. He can't hear you anyway. So.
Fair enough.
But he knows I'm talking about him.
I was actually scrolling through because I was like, well, you know what I have been watching in 1975. And I actually landed on a page here, and there's a couple of these shows that I'm sure you weren't watching at all, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be talking about Hong Kong Phooey.
Yeah.
Cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Scooby-Doo would have been on.
Mm.
Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Which I'm sure was probably one of the earlier versions of that.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Yep.
And then Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
Yeah.
I watched them. Okay. And then Land of the Lost.
I like Land of the Lost.
Yep. There's a bunch of other things that are, you know, things like Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Show and things along those lines. I know I would have watched that.
Always been a cartoon head. It just depends. A lot of the Hanna-Barbera stuff didn't really entice me. Never was a big Scooby-Doo fan. Hong Kong Phooey, though, Scatman Crothers played Hong Kong Phooey's voice, so I liked him.
Yep.
Yeah. He made him hip. Yeah.
Super Friends and Speed Buggy. So, yeah, those are ones that would have been on in my house.
That probably makes a lot of sense.
Yep, yep. All right, so anything else on TV?
I don't think so. I had, I think I had enough to say about TV. Probably a lot more than people, you know. I'm sorry, I just can't help but go into a whole, like, thing. I don't mean to dissect TV shows. There's got to be at least one, or just movies in general. I just dissect things anyway. Sorry. I'm not gonna be sorry because that's who I am. But
no reason to be sorry.
Yeah, I know. I just, you know, don't want it to be longer than it is. But then you edit, so you can just cut me off anytime.
You know what I just noticed?
What?
Donnie and Marie started in 1975.
Oh my God. Did they? Totally miss that? Oh.
Yeah, 1975 to 1979. We were talking about them during the Pulp Fiction podcast.
We really were because, yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe they were on that long. It was a variety show. Variety shows, you know, they had their moment. It would be nice to be able to have them back, but I don't think anybody would watch them. There was a lot of really good variety shows.
Yeah, I think nowadays you have to almost have like a game show type thing.
Yeah. But the variety show mentality, I don't think would go over very well. Now. There's just not enough hokiness out there to put in a variety show. Because that's the essence of a variety show, hokey.
Yeah.
Hokey, corny, cheesy. The trifecta of variety shows. Nobody can do it, I don't think. I challenge you out there, podcast land, make a variety show for 2018.
Yeah, because it would have to have a blend of, you know, live acts and mm-hmm. music and, you mm-hmm. know, interweaved with just cheesiness, you know,
yes.
to layer it all so together.
Sketches.
Yeah.
Massive costume changes.
Yeah.
Somebody has to sing a ballad.
Yeah, this generation needs a Carol Burnett.
They do.
Yeah.
I don't know who it would be. You know who'd make a good, oh my God, it just popped into my head. You know who'd make a really good host for a variety show?
The one that popped in my head was Ellen, but go ahead.
No, she's already got Game of Games. We don't want to stretch her too far, so get bored.
Okay, all right.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. That's an interesting choice.
Well, I just see her doing that. I just see her standing in front of a microphone and saying, you know, welcome to the Katy Perry Show. Thank you all for coming. Tonight's guest, we have, you know, this person, the guy that spins plates on a stick, somebody with dogs. And our musical act is the Black Eyed Peas. I don't know. Just name somebody popular.
Yeah.
And they would have that. And then she could sing, because that's what she does.
Right.
But that'll be like 10 or 15 years down the road when she's not popular anymore.
And that would make her popular over again.
It'll make her relevant.
Yeah.
Not necessarily popular. I think I like that for her.
All right, let's get on that.
Let's get on. Let's write that out.
I'm sure she's listening to the podcast.
I'm sure she is. Going, what the hell? 10 or 15 years? Who is this? Cementing my future with a damn variety show. I don't even know. What is that? Somebody Google variety show. What the hell is that?
I don't know. You know, maybe at that point you're just happy to get work. Who knows?
Well... Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right, so is there anything else about 1975 that you wanted to touch on?
Never go back there again.
Never go back?
Nope.
Wow, okay.
I don't ever want to revisit 1975 physically. I don't want to go in a time machine and go, ooh, know where I want to go? 1975. Nah. Nope, sorry, not happening. It's my first year of high school. I was a freshman.
Okay. I could see that being... Nobody likes freshman year.
No.
Yeah.
And it wasn't junior high. It wasn't, like, middle school. And no one gave a damn about anybody else but themselves. At least middle school, you know, they kind of crowded around you and tried to make you fit in, and then they couldn't do it, then they moved on to somebody else. But, yeah, so I had to get used to that. I had to get used to being left alone a lot. Like, hello, people? No one's talking to me. Because we don't care that you're here. Get over it. Oh, okay.
You might have been okay at the other school, but not here.
No, we don't care you're here.
Yeah, I was going through my brain, and I know it was around the time frame that my dad had gotten out of the Navy, and this might have been, actually, it could have been 76, but he'd gotten out of the Navy, and we moved, he got a job at the U.S. Sugar Corporation in Clewiston, Florida. Wow. And I know we lived in a trailer park to begin with when we moved to that town. I don't remember a lot of the details around, you know, that transition. I mean, I know I started school in Clewiston, but I don't remember a lot of the pre-time period before that, you know, before starting school.
Right.
So, I know that that was kind of our transition period, you know, him getting out, retiring from the Navy. He retired as a chief petty officer. He was a boiler technician, so he, you know, it was probably a tough field to be in. You know, I would assume to find a job that would require that skill set. So I think that's how we landed at the U.S. Sugar Corporation. But yeah, I mean, other than living in a small southern town, that in a trailer park, that's all I really got on that one. Mm. As far as revisiting, I don't recall anything that was a draw for that year to go back and visit.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. So, sounds like we're kind of wrapping things up then. We would not be, setting our time circuits and our DeLorean to go back to 75, it sounds like.
No.
All right. Well, then, at the end of these things, we like to remind people how to get a hold of us, and that is through our website. That's, Banzai Retro Club. That's Z-A-I, not S-A-I. And on that website, we have links to just a whole bunch of ways of staying in contact with us and following us through our social media endeavors. There's something new that I just added to it. There's a capability that allows you to leave a voicemail for us, and we would be able to play that back on the podcast.
Awesome.
So, go to the website and you can actually record your voice and leave a voicemail for us. I love it. I tested it, so I know it works fine. It comes out via like an email link that we can download the audio. I think you get about 90 seconds. So
that's plenty of time.
Yeah, I would love anybody and everybody to go to the website and leave us a message.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, maybe we have a listener in Denmark or something, you know, that would, yeah, you know, want to, you know, wink, wink, like, you know, let us hear his voice.
Named Frederick?
Yeah. Who knows? You know, somebody out there, you know, maybe, other podcasters, you know, like, Friday Night Movie Pod, you know, Pancake for Table. Maybe they want to, like, you know, leave us a message.
That was a really nice shout out she gave.
Yeah.
About the Goonies. I just love that. And I'm just like, are you sure you're talking about me? What if I do?
Yeah. They're fantastic over there.
Great. Oh, yeah. Great stuff. I think we just have like a really excellent group of people that we work with in Retro Club.
Yeah.
And it's growing every day. And, you know, it's just like they're so eager and they just love this. And I love it that they love doing what they're doing, because that means I don't have to do anything. I don't have to blog. I mean, I will do a podcast, but I don't know. My blogging days are like, I should honestly just delete that off my 80s music world page. But I just don't have the energy. I just don't want to do that anymore. And I don't know where the enthusiasm was lost, but I see these guys and they're amazing.
Yeah.
Jill especially. She's like scary blogger woman. She will blog a lot of just about anything. And I'm like, you go, girl. You just blog all that stuff. Although I did tell her I was going to try and put something together for Michael Caine. I will. I promise. I will.
And I watched Death Trap. I did. I paid the $3.
You did? Yes. Oh, good for you. Isn't that a crazy movie?
No, I've seen it before. I just had to reacquaint myself with it.
That's a crazy movie.
Love that movie. Oh my god, great movie. But, exactly what you're saying about Jill. Yeah, she keeps me in line with like, okay, what's our next topic? Come on, let's get things going.
Yeah. It's like, gosh, what are you on? This is great. Retro Rambler, he's another one.
Yes.
I'm thinking it's a he, because I never know these handles sometimes, you know.
Yeah, that's Mickey. Oh,
man, he's just like, okay, knock this out, I'm doing this, I got this going. He's probably like typing with his toes or something. And he's just got all of this stuff going on, and everybody's just so dedicated. I love that.
Yeah, what a great group. And
I'm not being facetious at all. I am being sincere. Yeah. You know, the amount of dedication and the enthusiasm that they show is just, it just blows me away.
So, yeah, and getting back to my point, any one of those cats, if they've got a free 90 seconds, go to our website and leave us a message. We'd love to hear you. Love to hear your voice.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, so let's see. So we talked about the website, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, and all that kind of good jazz, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Then we get to the part where we'll talk about reviews. Yeah. So Rose, you're up.
So, a lot of stuff that we covered today. We usually are pretty good at, covering lots of information on our podcast. And a lot of times we're not always that accurate, some of us more than others. So, but that's besides the point. I mean, we know you guys love us.
I feel like you just insulted me.
I didn't. What about me? God, you're just... Get over yourself, Dave. Jesus. Fine by myself. No. Anyway. So anyway, get out there and your iPads and iPhones and iPods and wherever you can attach yourself to the iTunes network and store. Download our podcast. Listen to our podcast. Subscribe to our podcast. And leave us a review, because these are the things that keep us going. These are the things that make us better. If you think that we could do better, then you need to say that we can do better. Otherwise, we'll continue to do the same crap. So, get your little fingers going, or your little stylus pens, if that's all fancy how you are. And get out there, and you might even have to type. You could just press that little microphone thing and say, hey, great talk about this subject. However, it was this person, just like Pancake did, totally disacknowledging the fact that I confused Martha Plimpton with Juliette Lewis only because I said something amazing that just kind of wiped the slate clean. So we like that. And if you want to do it on Twitter, that's fine too, but it works better if we're on iTunes, because that's how, we get our recognition and we get built up and more people see us and we have lots of good reviews and they're like, oh, hey, maybe I want to listen to this. Who are these guys? Bonsai? Is that a tree? What is that?
Little tree.
So thank you, everyone out there, because we love you, and I only joke because I care.
And thank you for that. You gave me an out so that if I have a crappy show, then I can blame our listeners. Because they're not giving me a review. So that's it's all your fault, people.
Their responsibility. Yeah.
If I'm getting shit wrong because I haven't looked it up, it's your fault. Deal with it.
Somebody's going to get tired of hearing that eventually. I'm hoping somebody will go, damn it, that's it. Where's my iPhone?
I'm writing these guys a review. These guys suck.
Yeah. It'll be like one of those 20 pagers. You're like, man, we'll still be reading it like next year.
I think I would read that one out, though. I would definitely read that one on the air.
Oh, we would have to have a special podcast specifically for that.
To deal with the criticism.
Yeah, criticism podcast.
Yeah. All right. So the last thing that is also on that website is a link to this thing called Patreon. And this allows everybody the opportunity to give a little something to us to help us keep things running. And, the social media stuff, that's all free, but the webpage and the hosting for the podcast isn't. There's certain things that we'd like to do, to have available, to entice future listeners and things like that. And that is market ourselves. So any kind of, extra help that you can do with that, you can do that through our Patreon. And that's just going in and giving a little something, just a few bucks a month or something to help us run things around here. It's just making it a little easier to give you guys the content that you're listening to right now. So we'd encourage you to do that. And then also, I like to end these things by reminding everybody to be excellent to each other. We have a lot of crazy, wacky stuff in this world and people just being jerks and assholes. And, my advice and our advice is just, if we live by the golden rule and be nice to each other and be excellent, everything would just go a little smoother. And that's what we're asking you to do, is just be excellent.
Yeah.
So with that, I guess it's bye.
See you guys.
Have a good whatever.
Yes.
Because we have no idea when you're listening to these things.
Nope.
So, bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!